Len, up here in Illinois, people are bracing for what might be the last great outdoor golf day, as temperatures are supposed to maybe briefly around midday get up around 60 degrees. But starting Thursday, for as far as we can see, temperatures won't be out of the mid-40s. So tomorrow might be the day, the last day to get up here and hit it. And I know that you're looking forward to starting to hit it on a regular basis back down in Sarasota.
Yeah, I tell you, things are good, but just beautiful here right now. It's, you know, the Sunshine State is living up to its billing. I've been playing two or three times a week. Of course, we have a very big event coming up here this week in Naples, nearby Naples. It's about an hour and a half away. The CME Group Tour Championship, which is the climax to the ladies PGA Tour season, and really the last major event of the all the tours. This one is the biggest purse in women's golf, $5 million, much bigger than everything else on the LPGA Tour. And of course, right after that, an event that's big to me is December 1st. Illinois architect Mike Benkuski, he unveils his new course right outside my window here, the Champions Course at Palmer Country Club. So that's a pretty big deal. I got a lot on my plate the next couple of weeks, and really looking forward to it.
Well, you should be. I'm disappointed. I was out with Mike Benkuski today. We were hiking around Nickel Knoll. And
one of my favorite places.
Yep. Bouncing ideas off one another so that it becomes one of the hot short par three courses, not only in Illinois, but pretty much anywhere, and perhaps trying to help its reconnect its image. The guy who made that hill famous, former Bear great, the late great Hall of Famer Walter Payton. We've come up with a bunch of ideas. And Len Zeem, you know, if the Park District works with Mike and they pull this off, then I'm sure property values around that golf course will just skyrocket.
Well, I'm not living there anymore. I wish they would, and I hope, I'm sure yours will if he does, because Mike did a great job here at Palmer. He handled he calls it a reimagining rather than a renovation of a course that was originally designed in the 1950s by Dick Wilson, who was a co-designer with Joe Lee of Dubs Red Course at Cog Hill. So, you know, there's a lot of tie-ins. We're 1,500 miles apart, but there's a lot of good vibes between the locations there.
In talking to Mike Benkuski today, work could start on improving Nickel Knoll before the end of 2022. So that would be a wonderful thing if that comes to be. And, you know, a lot of the improvements are simple stuff. They're not super costly things. There could be some ways to, again, enhance the connection to Walter Payton and really turn that into a really incredible short course. And obviously, the Arlington Heights Park District should probably do a couple of things to help promote it. And apparently, some of the staff this year said that it was amazing last year during the pandemic how many people came out and played and lived in Arlington Heights, didn't know it was there. Perhaps the Park District could get on board and selling a yearly membership, and or go to what we've seen at places like Pinehurst, and what's happening now at 12 North up there in the Dells at Trapper's Turn is there's simply an all-day rate. You could go out there and go around as many times as you want. There's room there to sort of enhance the bar and grill area. Create a beverage, man. Call it sweetness, whatever you want to do, and get people to come up there and just enjoy the place and take out some of the trees and enjoy the views that go for miles in all directions.
Okay, and Nickel Knoll was a fond place in my heart, of course, because I lived right outside the entryway there for 16 years. And whenever we go back, I always come over there and sometimes play even. So I've always felt even the way it is now, and Michael will certainly improve it, but I always felt it was one of the best par three courses around the Chicago area, and I still feel that way. I think that Mike can very easily take it to a new level, and I especially like the thought about having a fee in which you can play as many holes as you want all day. I've seen that work elsewhere. I'm sure it could work very much to the advantage of Nickel Knoll and the Arlington Heights Park District.
Len, you talked about the LPGA season starting to wrap up between last week and this week, and we'll get back to the LPGA in just a moment, but PGA Champions Tour did wrap up. And how about Bernhard Langer into his 60s and yet another Schwab Cup title?
Yeah, 64 years old. I tell you, that's amazing. He said afterwards that this well could be his last. He kind of thought it would be. But, you know, he's won it six times, still playing a very, very high level of golf at age 64. This last tournament was a little on the interesting side. I mean, Jim Furyk was threatening to make at least a run at him. And who but wins the tournament is Phil Mickelson. So, you know, the final playoff event, the Schwab Cup final, not the series, but the final of the three tournament series. So the Champions Tour has a great product going, and I see it a little more now than I did back in the Chicago days, because they have some stops in Florida. Boca Raton has gotten one. The Chubbs Classic will probably open the 2022 season in Naples, and of course it's going to be part of the playoff series again. So the Champions Tour is really a great product. And of course, Tour Edge, Batavia based manufacturer of ours, is loaded with PGA Tour Edge. Tour Edge is loaded with Champions Tour players that has helped both the company and the players as well. So it's an interesting Chicago story. And there's not much in the way of Chicago tournaments anymore for the Champions Tour. The players are Tour Edge players, and that's a good connection right there.
State of professional golf, the real question now, is it going to stay the same? Is it going to change? And we have, you know, Greg Norman's series of tournaments within the Asian Tour. We also have a group called the PGL, Professional Golf League, wanting to create their own tour. The European Tour for the next 10 years is going to be known as the DP Tour instead of the European Tour due to a sponsor coming on board. But you have to wonder, you know, where is golf going here? What is the big picture? Is there's not just one threat aimed at the PGA Tour. There's now multiple threats. Guys are looking to do different things and, you know, find ways to make even more money. And I thought there was some interesting comments by Billy Horschel this week over in Saudi Arabia, where he's saying, you know what, why don't we make it a little tougher for guys to make money, get their card, shorter fields, less tour cards being handed out. And you know what, there's ways that people should have to play a little more hungry. He said, we got too many guys that are just happy to make cuts and make their $1 million a year and go home. And he didn't think that's the way the PGA Tour is meant to be.
No, you know, Billy made some very good points there. On the other hand, I kind of feel like this is going to be the players are going to, in the end, decide how all this plays out, because it's the players who are the show. The juggling of the tours proves that, because there is a demand for more that it's perceived, and I think it's right. There's perceived to be a demand for more big time tournament play around the world, not just in the U.S. We thought with the World Golf Championship circuit that would suffice in that end, which Greg Norman really was the brainchild behind it years back. He wanted a tour like that, and he wasn't the guy that got it started, but you know, it's flourished. I think it's what's going to happen. I thought the women's tour had set the pace in creating a global golf circuit, but I think that's true. But I think that what's going to happen now, it's going to be truly global, very worldwide. The travel is going to be incredible, but more and more great names will step to the fore and become the heroes of the sport. And it won't just be Americans. It really isn't any, hasn't been for quite a while. I think there's going to be a lot of transformation in the game. I think there's going to be quite a bit of team play that will come up, special events. A lot of imagination will go into the planning of all these tours, and it'll be healthy for professional golf.
Well, you start to wonder what some of the fields will look like on non-majors on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be loaded up with Monday qualifiers, or are they going to have to open the Monday qualifier up, and instead of four people getting into the field, is it going to be six, or is it going to be eight? You know, is there going to be a path for Korn Ferry Tour players to come up for a week? Or maybe if they're at a certain spot on that Korn Ferry money list or points list, whatever it is, and they're, maybe they'll have a spot available if you're in the top five or something like that to go play the PGA Tour event that week. So it would be interesting to see what can change, what will change, what won't change, and maybe where the PGA Tour will draw a line in the sand and letting these big name players run all over the world for maximum dollars.
There's so much playing talent out there. I think that's where you draws the line. I mean, I think that the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, those players are just a cut below the PGA Tour. Many of them have played on the PGA Tour as regulars. Of course, that is, doesn't even bring into play the players overseas who are gotten better and better. The names on the field, in the fields around, may be changing. They will be changing. But I don't think the talent level will change. I think that it'll only get better. There's so many good players worldwide now. It isn't just American players with European players kicking in. It's the talent, and there's more golf courses around the world now than there certainly used to be even 5 years ago. So I think we're going to have tours that'll look differently, but the talent that's going to be out there is going to be substantial, better than it is now.
When last week I got a chance to go see Miha Body Stimulation, EMS training, out at their Addison office, and it's kind of an electro muscular stimulation, and you get attached to a machine, you put on a what looks like a frogman's wetsuit, and it does a whole bunch of different things to you. And in a 20 to 25 minute workout, it's supposed to be the equivalent of what your body would get by going to the gym and pumping iron over an entire week. You can do this in one day. Now, I don't sense that this system is going to help you bulk up and turn into the next Bryson DeChambeau, adding 40 or 50 pounds and looking like you're a massive long drive hitter. But it is a way to work out and balance your workouts into a one-day event and only have to do it one day a week.
Sounds almost too good to be true, but I tell you that the bottom line here, again, is that fitness has become a requirement, not just a plus for somebody who wants to be a real good golfer. It's not like the old days, guys who would just play golf and do the best with their shot making and all that. They were great. But now it's more of a fitness sport, more of an athletic competition on any tour you play, even at the private club level, even at the state amateur level. You know, you welcome things like this into the lexicon of the game. It's such a more broader base now to golf. It's there's a lot more to think about. So it's a fascinating time in the history of the sport.
Well, then also last week I got out to our good friends and our sponsors, the Mistwood Golf Operation, or in this case, the Mistwood Golf Dome, now for the weeks ahead with the golf course being closed now for the season. Had a chance to catch up with 2021 PGA Section Champion Andy Michelson, the director of golf at Mistwood, and we started talking about some of the new improvements there. And on the upper deck in the golf dome, they've added tables for dining. They've added TVs that weren't up there before, so you can still catch some of the big game action that you had to formerly be on the first floor to get, and tried to make the upper deck experience just as good as it was downstairs. The putting green has been redone. The chipping area has been redone. They've put certain degrees of slope in there, much like they do at the major equipment facilities where the tour pros go to check their game against new clubs out in places like Carlsbad, California. And some of these changes were brought in. The menu's been upgraded, but I can also tell you this, if you're in McWethy Sports Bar, in addition to the new TVs, well, it might be the same old chicken wings, but boy, they're still pretty darn good.
Yeah, I tell you, Miss Wood does things right from just not just the golf standpoint, but from putting all the accessories around the golf products. It's amazing, really, what's happened by that group originally under the late Jim McQuethy. The people running it, and since Jim's passing, are taking it to new levels. And I tell you, it's going to become a nationwide story of all the things they've drawn, because they are very, very cutting edge and very ambitious, very enthusiastic. It's a good mix. Mistwood has got a great location in Chicago, of course. Courses around the country should look to what they're doing, because they're doing some wonderful things there.
Well, the Mistwood Golf Dome, located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook, phone number 630-739-7600, or you can call the direct line into the sports bar if you're just going for food. But they really have got that place up and running, and not only that, it's still a great place, even in the winter, to go for club fittings, lessons, just overall game improvement. You know, the Mistwood Golf Dome, best dome in town, and obviously the best food and beverage operation that's attached to any of the golf domes around the area. As a matter of fact, locally here, the Buffalo Grove Golf Dome opened and said they could only open one level because they have a shortage of range balls. They just don't have enough golf balls to even give out to people who want to buy them and hit them across the entire dome. And, of course, this week, Mistwood was promoting the fact that all their new range balls were already there and ready for another season. So Mistwood Golf Dome remaining at the top of the indoor golf facilities to go hit. And Len, in talking to Andy Michelson, he's hearing that a shortage issue could be a problem next year in obtaining the proper golf shaft, that some of the shafts out there may have issues getting supply to build them. So there could be a shaft shortage if you're looking for particular shafts next summer. And you and I have talked about a shortage of golf balls, and Andy said he hadn't heard that, but he had heard there might be a problem getting certain types of golf shafts next year when you order new clubs. So if you're thinking of new clubs, maybe sooner than better.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, this is a problem nationwide and a lot of other industries as well. So I'm not surprised that it's been surfacing in golf. I think that the incident in Buffalo Grove, they couldn't find enough balls and had to limit play there. That speaks volumes. And Andy, I'm sure, would know what the situation would be regarding new shafts with the way they operate over there at Mistwood. Their thumb is on the pulse of all that kind of stuff. So I don't, you know, we're going to know a lot more about this in the next couple months when we gather at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando at the end of January. I think a lot of the fears that maybe are seeming to start surfacing now, I think they'll either be cleared up by then, or we'll be facing it head on. So exciting times in golf, even if it's not always in the actual playing of the game.
Len, while I was at the Golf Dome, I ran into the 360 golf team, our good friend Dave Lockhart, along with his host Patrick Manley. And, you know, both of them have their own beer out. Dave Lockhart with Lynx Lager, and Patrick Manley, the former Chicago Bear, he was the long snapper for years, and there's Long Snapper Ale. And both of them tried to put me on the spot and said, which one is better? And I said, well, they're both good. And I said, maybe it's time for a holiday party, a taste testing event. So I know that I think you've had both of them, and I don't know if you have a favorite or not, but I'm looking forward to a taste testing event. More and more places are selling that beer. And over the holidays, we hope to sample a little bit of both and come up with a decision if we give the nod to one or the other.
Well, I thought Lynx Lager was quite good. Now, I hate to say it, but I have not tried Patrick's beer, but now it's a must. Now we have to decide. It's a requirement, I think, that we decide which is the better beer between those two. It'll be a fun project. But that's another thing that has gotten more and more into the game of golf. The wine has been sponsored by a lot of players, or have sponsored wine. Luke Donald being one of the first to do it. You know, again, we're dealing with a very changing economic climate, and we're dealing with a very changing climate in the whole industry of golf, not just the playing of the game.
Well, Len, I stopped back to see Fox Run Golf Links over in Elk Grove, part of the Elk Grove Park District, and that clubhouse now is less than 30 days out from opening. The furniture was expected this week, but saw the new bar, saw the three full swing simulators that are in there, and I'll tell you what, they have got one heck of a clubhouse. They've got a room with the six slot machines in there, fantastic new kitchen, which is going to be great for golfers as they make the turn and want to get maybe get a bite to eat before the back nine. But I'll tell you what, it's really going to upgrade the overall golf experience at Fox Run Golf Club over on Plum Grove Road in Elk Grove.
Yeah, Fox Run was, we had a look at that at the very end of our summer stay in Chicago, and you could see that they had some good ideas going. I think they probably were hopeful that it would get started maybe a little bit sooner, but you could see the promise that has come over there, and it may work out for the best of them because their clubhouse is going to become, I think, from what I can could gather there, a winter destination as well. I mean, that's going to be a big change for over there. That golf course was a decent golf course, but now they're going to have a lot more to offer than just golf. It's a good thing, another one of the many more positive developments in golf in Chicago.
Last week, I had a chance to walk Settlers Hill with architect Greg Martin, and it is amazing the amount of growth that came in from the time that you and I were there at the end of September. And you had 7 weeks, and boy, every fairway was pretty green. All of the different weeds that were growing out of the initial growth have been taken down, and boy, it really looked like a golf course, and it's just amazing. And I got to hope if winter isn't too harsh and spring isn't too bad that they will hit that July of 2022 target date to get the course open next year. And I've had some pictures out on social media, and the response already has been amazing.
Yeah, you know, that that is an interesting, from day one, that was an interesting place to build a golf course. And it's a, you know, it's a good location, centrally located, suburban location. The ideas I think that Greg had there, he's a really a proven architect. He's very good. And I think that what's going to happen there is going to result maybe not immediately, but once everything is settled down and all the projects are completed over there, that's going to become one of the very premier public courses in the Chicago area. It's certainly going to be one that a lot of people are going to be wanting to play, including you and me.
Nowhere in the Chicago area do we have elevation changes like that. You stand on the 11th tee and you look down at the 9th fairway and you go, gosh, we're up pretty high and quite a view. And then you get to the 14th tee and you look down at 11 and can't believe how much higher you are there. And then the tee shot now on the par 5 16th is going to resemble the tee shot on the 14th hole at the General at Eagle Ridge, way up top. And, you know, you'll have room to bomb it out there, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, how golfers like that. Of course, as Greg said, you're up there high. There's not a lot around. So windy days could be quite a challenge. You know, Len, speaking of interesting challenges on the golf course, I thought the USGA came out with a statement the other day talking about how they're going to incorporate one of the other holes, because there is 27 holes at the country club, into their U.S. Open rotation. And it's going to be a real short par three. They're talking about putting a hole out there in the U.S. Open that might only play 115 or 120 yards, something you'll see on the par three courses. And it'll be interesting to see exactly how many yards. But I think from the tips, that hole only plays 130. So it's going to be a real short hole for a U.S. Open.
Yeah, you know, I think it gets shorter than that, I think. I bet you we do have one. A hole that does remind me a bit of that at number 7 at Pebble Beach. That's a real short course, right? That real short hole right on the water there. But the that's an important thing that they're doing. That length is, you remember when it was used to be that length was everything. We had to have 8,000. We're going to get 8,000 yard golf courses. Well, that's not necessarily for the good of the game. I think these. Having one real short kind of hole is very healthy. This last week, we saw the Pelican LPGA Championship. They had a hole 150 yards, a good spectator hole. This is a small LPGA tournament, but what was interesting here is they offered Lamborghinis to anybody who made a hole-in-one there. And in the four tournament rounds plus one day of the Pro-Am, there were three players that won two-year leases of Lamborghinis. I mean, it creates a little different excitement to a tournament. I remember one U.S. Open, which had a par three hole that kind of funneled towards the center of the green, and they put the pin there one day, and there were four holes in one in the same day.
Oak Hill, that was Oak Hill, right.
And that was, but it created something really new and different and exciting. And not that we're going to see holes in one left, right, sideways, and backwards, but the excitement of the short game is every bit as impressive as the awesome long drives that we're seeing Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson hit. So just another dimension of golf that is well worth exploring.
Well, Len, a couple final notes here before we call it a week. Congratulations to my former Co-Hersey Husky guy that I knew in high school, but he went on to be the general manager at White Eagle for a while, but has landed on his feet at Edgewood Valley as general manager. Paul Gallas took over as of yesterday after some time at a private club in between golf course country clubs. And also, it's nice to see that one of our local companies here is really expanding. The Zero Friction Group at Oakbrook Terrace has now opened up three more offices, one in London, one in Kansas, one in Charlotte, North Carolina. So a lot of the products that they put out, the rangefinders, the bags, the tees, the colored golf balls, the golf gloves, so many great products for golfers. They're now going to have four offices worldwide instead of just the Oakbrook Terrace one. So congratulations to the Zero Friction Group on their expansion. It shows their products are selling.
Yeah, Zero Friction is going to be a real interesting story to watch. The growth that that company's had is astounding, and I know that they've been very big in the PGA merchandise show in the past. I think they could, with a lot of the club manufacturers especially, not going being on hand in Florida in January, a company like Zero Friction is going to have its profile uplifted real quickly.
Well, Len, that's all the time we have for this week. And again, we want to remind all of our listeners to head out to the Mistwood Golf Dome located on Route 53 in Bolingbrook, 630-739-7600. While you're there, enjoy all the great food and beverage at McWethy's Sports Bar. Bring your clubs, bring your appetite. Book your hitting bay at mistwooddome.com.